I want to ask you this morning to open your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy, please. I want you to find the second chapter of the little book called 2 Timothy. I'm preaching through 2 Timothy on these Sunday mornings, and it took me a while to get out of chapter 1, but I've made it to chapter 2. And I want to read 7 verses of scripture to you this morning, and then I want to share some thoughts with you this morning on the subject of be strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Would you join me in standing as I read from God's word today? These are the words of the Apostle Paul. He is in prison, awaiting execution, and he's writing to a young preacher boy named Timothy, and he is a pastor, and he needs encouragement. And so, picking up in chapter 2, verse 1, hear what Paul says to Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let's consider what he says. And I pray the Lord will give us understanding in all things. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you today for the opportunity once again to be in this place. Thank you for all these who have come this morning. Thank you for those who are watching online or listening by radio. And Father, we pray that right now that your Holy Spirit would just move in every heart, speak to every life, say what you want to say, and help us to do what you ask us to do. Father, I pray that you'd help me today as I look into your word to speak the truth that comes from these words. God, I pray that you'd empty me of me. I pray that you would fill me up with you. And I pray today that as people listen, that you will communicate truth and you will cause us to do whatever you want to ask us to do today. For I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I've come to chapter 2 of Paul's second letter to Timothy, and I'm giving it the title, To Be Strong. I know that a lot of you like football, so let me give you a football illustration this morning. Back in 2009, my Oklahoma Sooners traveled to Lincoln, Nebraska to play the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Nebraska was known for having strong offensive and defensive linemen. I think what they did was they went out into the countryside there in the state of Nebraska. They saw young men who were growing up on the farm. These are boys who had grown up hauling hay and working with cattle. They'd recruit them to come and play on their football team. And once they got them to Lincoln, I'm not sure about this, but what I think they did was they took those boys, they put them in a cellar underneath the ground, and they fed them nothing but raw meat for about 3 years. And by the time they came out, they were big and strong, and they were ready to play football. Well, in 2009, they had a defensive lineman. His first name is hard for me to pronounce. But his first name was Indomican, and his last name was Sue. Indomican Sue. He was 6'4", 313 pounds of nothing but pure muscle. And whenever the game kicked off there in Lincoln, Nebraska, I think my Oklahoma Sooners got the ball first. They drove down the field. They got to about the 28-yard line where the drive stalled. And so they brought on their field goal kicker, a young boy by the name of Tressway, and he came out to attempt a 45-yard field goal. And that's when Indomican Sue showed up. Whenever Tressway went to kick that field goal, Indomican Sue, 6'4", 313 pounds, he literally pushed the offensive line of the Oklahoma boys back. He stretched his big paw up, blocked that field goal, and whenever he blocked that field goal, 86,000 Cornhusker fans began to cheer, and one of the Oklahoma players says, "I felt the stadium shake." Sunday, whenever they gathered as a team that afternoon and they looked at the game film and they watched that game, now they had game planned for this boy named Sue, last name Sue, S-U-H. But yet that boy dominated all game long. And as they watched the game film on Sunday afternoon, one of them said, "The offensive linemen of Oklahoma looked like they were on roller skates because Sue was pushing them back all day long." I don't know the rest of the story. Probably some of you do. He went on to play professional football. As a matter of fact, I think he won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not long ago. But when I thought about being strong, I thought about this football player. But I'm also thinking today about you, and I'm thinking about me and Paul's call for us to be strong. Not physically strong, of course, but calling for us to be spiritually strong. Whenever I looked at the first chapter of 2 Timothy, I gave it the title, or at least most of it, beginning in verse 6 to the end of the chapter. I gave it the title of Paul was saying, "Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed." And he said over and over again, three times in that chapter, he uses that word ashamed. And he says to young Timothy, "Don't be ashamed." And so whenever you come to chapter 2, there's a little bit of a twist, because in chapter 2, Paul moves from saying, "Don't be ashamed," to now he's saying to young Timothy, "I want you to be strong. You need to be spiritually strong." As a matter of fact, whenever you come to chapter 2, you may have noticed there that whenever you begin there with verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son." Thou therefore. Therefore points back to chapter 1. Because of everything I've said to you in chapter 1, therefore, I want you to be strong. Paul knows Timothy. He knows that he's timid. He knows that he's easily intimidated. He also knows what's going on in the world, and he knows what's going on in the church that he's pastors. Timothy's young. He's being criticized by some that are in the church. There is some false doctrine being taught in the church, and he's trying to speak up against it, but yet many of them are being critical of him because he's young. And Paul also knows that Nero, the Roman emperor, is on the prowl, and he's looking to persecute believers in Christ. He wants to not only persecute them, but he wants to, if he can, imprison them, and if he can, even put them to death. So Paul knows all that's going on, and he also knows that here is young Timothy who's weakening. The critics are getting to him, and the culture of the day is causing him to cower down a little bit. But yet Paul also knows of Timothy's genuine faith. He knows of his spiritual heritage. He knows about his mama, and he knows about his grandma. He knows about the spiritual gift that God has given to him. He knows about the spiritual resources that God has given him there of love and power and of sound mind. He knows all of that. So now he picks up the pen and he says to Timothy, "I want you to be strong. In spite of the culture of the day, in spite of everything that's going on, I want you to be strong." I've said this before, I will say it again, I will probably say it in the weeks to come. I don't know that there's any passage of Scripture in all the Word of God that is more relevant to us in the day that we're living in than 2 Timothy, because we're living in a day whenever the culture is strong and it's ungodly strong, and oftentimes those who are believers in Jesus Christ We cower down, but I want to say to you today, regardless of your age, regardless of your personality, regardless of where you work or where you go to school, regardless of the culture that's round about you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this is not a day to be weak. This is a day to be strong. So Paul writes to Timothy, and he says to him, I want you to be strong. I'm going to give you my 3 points today up front. I'm not going to get through all of it, but I want to at least start it today, this message of be strong. I want to first of all talk to you a little bit in verse 1 about the plea to be strong, and we're going to look at what Paul says, young Timothy, my son, be strong in the Lord. There's a plea that he gives, and that's the plea that I'm giving to you today as well. And then the second thing that he does is he talks to him about the power to be strong. And what he's saying to Timothy is, now I'm not asking you to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You do not have the strength that I'm talking about in and of yourself. You need to be strong in the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be God's power if you're going to be strong and if you're going to be survive. It's not going to be your own. And then he spends the latter verses, beginning in verse 2 all the way through verse 7 that I read, by giving us 4 pictures of what it looks like to be a strong Christian. I probably won't get to those today, so I want to encourage you to come back next week because you need to see the 4 pictures of what it looks like to be strong. And he gives them the picture of a teacher. He gives them the picture of a soldier. He gives them the picture somebody who's a farmer. He gives them the picture. There are 4 different pictures of what it looks like to be strong. So let me just go back and first of all talk about the plea to be strong. Look at verse 1, if you will, the very first part, half, if you will, of verse 1. Paul says, thou therefore, listen, my son, be strong. We'll stop right there. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. I want to say 2 things about that. Number one, it is a moving plea. Did you hear what Paul said? He said, thou therefore, my son. He called Timothy his son. It's not unlike what he'd also said, not only in 1 Timothy, but here in 2 Timothy as well. When you go back to chapter 1, verse 2, look what Paul said. He calls Timothy my dearly beloved son. The idea is not that Timothy is Paul's physical son, but that Timothy is Paul's spiritual son. In all probability, that whenever Paul came to the city where Timothy lived and had been taught by his mother and his grandmother, it was the Apostle Paul who led him to faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's his spiritual son, so he calls him my son. And when earlier he called him my dearly beloved son. Does not sound similar to what our God said about his son. He said, thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. It is a very dear, it is a tender plea. It is like a spiritual father speaking to a spiritual son, and he's encouraging him to be strong. There's a tenderness to that, is there not? That my son, it is a tender plea. Oh, listen, I think there's a reason why Paul talked to Timothy like that. I think he knew Timothy's character. You know, he knew that if he's going to get his attention and he's going to get him to not be ashamed, if he's going to get him to be strong, then he's going to have to come to him as like being a loving parent saying to his son, I want you to be strong in the Lord. We got a lot of parents in the room today. I will say this to you quickly and I will move on. Every parent needs to learn the disposition of their children. Do you know not every child responds to the same way? Not every child needs to be approached in the same way. So you need to understand a little bit of their disposition. If you don't, you're going to run them away rather than building them up. And so here he was coming to say to him, he said, I want you to be strong. But he doesn't come at him with a strong word. He comes at him with a soft word because Timothy needed Paul to say, my son. So it is a moving plea. But notice also that it is a mandatory plea because in that same verse, after he says, thou therefore, my son, he said, be strong. He doesn't mince words. Be strong. It's a command. It's not an option. In the Greek text, it is an imperative word. What he was saying to him, this is not the time, Timothy, for you to be weak. This is the time for you to be strong. Why does he need to be strong? Well, if I could borrow a little bit about what Peter said over in his book, over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he was saying, Timothy, you need to be strong because your adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. Did you notice what Peter said? He called the devil a roaring lion. You know why a lion roars? Because he's hungry, and he's about to eat. And I think what Paul was saying to Timothy, he said, you need to be strong because the devil's walking around like a roaring lion, and if you're not strong, he's going to eat you up and spit you out. So you need to be strong. I hope you're listening today, because we're living in a world very much like that Timothy was growing up in. I want to say to you today, I mean, unless you've had your head buried in the sand, you know this to be true. The devil is on the prowl today. He's walking about today. He's loud and he's proud. And so what we find is that oftentimes people are weak and they're afraid. And Paul was saying to you and to me, as he was saying to Timothy, he said, no, don't be weak. You need to be strong. It is a time for you to stand up and speak up and be strong. Here's who the Apostle Paul. He's about to hand the baton off to a young preacher boy. And he's saying, listen, all of my life I've been strong. I've preached the gospel. I've led folks to Christ. I've established churches. I've been whipped within an inch of my life. I've been stoned to death. I've been able to, I've had sometimes escape out of a city under the cover of night. I've been strong. Timothy, you be strong. That's what he's saying. Be strong. By the way, you may be familiar with that phrase, be strong, if you're familiar with your Bible. It is a plea that is found throughout the scripture. Oftentimes, whenever a man is passing the spiritual baton on to another man or even to a group of people. Let me give you some references. Moses was speaking to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, and Moses said, be strong and of good courage. David was speaking to Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 13. And David said to young Solomon, be strong and of good courage, and dread not, nor be dismayed. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, and he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. You hear that phrase over and over again, right? Be strong. Be strong. As a matter of fact, whenever Paul wrote to the Corinthians in there, and he says, the King James translates it like this, quit you like men. What does that mean? It means behave like men. Act like men. Stand up like a man. Paul said to the church at Ephesus over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so now he comes to young Timothy. And as he's waiting for the executioner to come, he looks at this young boy and he says, my son, be strong. My son, be strong. I'm saying to you today, church, my son, my daughter, my church, be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak. There is no excuse to be weak. The culture is no excuse to be weak. Your personality is no excuse to be weak. The day that we're living in is no excuse to be weak. Be strong. Oh, listen to me today. You young people who are here today, in the world that you're growing up in, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. Oh, you young adults today trying to raise up a family, you need to be strong in the Lord. You senior adults today who maybe you know you've got more days behind you than you do in front of you, but you have to be strong in the Lord. I said one of the things I was saying to a man the other day as we were having lunch, I said, listen, I want to finish strong. I don't want to coast to the finish line. Do you? I want to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we cannot afford to be weak. We cannot afford to be waffling. We must be strong. Oh, the plea of Paul to Timothy is my plea to you today, who name the name of Jesus. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. Which brings me to the second part, the second part of verse 1. Not only does he give us what I call the plea to be strong, but he also shares with us the power for strong Christians. The plea for strong Christians, and now the power for strong Christians. Look at the latter part of verse 1. He said, after he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Listen to what he said. This is key. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, where do I get this strength? That's a great question. And here's a great answer. Listen carefully. He said, first of all, it is gracious power. It is gracious power. Now, whenever Paul said to him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, he's not talking about saving grace. Timothy's already experienced saving grace. Back in chapter 1, verse 9, whenever Paul was writing, telling him not to be ashamed, he said, and he saved us. So he's not talking about saving grace. He's talking about more what I would call sustaining grace. He's talking about, Timothy needed what John called in his gospel, grace for grace. I hope you're listening. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. John chapter 1, verse 16, this is what John said, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Some translations translate it like this, and grace upon grace. And may I say, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It is a building grace. What I'm saying to you is that saving grace, sustaining grace, it never runs out. It is grace upon grace, grace for grace. It is inexhaustible grace. It is continuous grace. It is uninterrupted grace. It is tireless grace. It is unending grace. What I'm saying to you today is the grace that you experience when you got saved never ever runs out. The same grace that saved you is the same grace that will sustain you. So what Paul was saying to Timothy, he said, you need the grace that John was talking about when he talked about grace for grace. Let me find it another way. I think he was saying, Timothy, you need what Paul called in another place, the grace wherein we stand. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 22. Paul said this, but whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand. We stand in grace. We stand in the unmerited favor of God. He's talking about grace to stand. He's talking about grace to be strong. He's talking about the day in which we live. He's talking about whatever you're going through. Always keep it in context, please. Paul is writing to Timothy, saying to him, Timothy, you're pastoring that church. There's some false teachers in the church. There's some folks older than you in the church. They're criticizing you in the church. Outside of the church, you've got Nero. He's wanting to put Christians to death, but he's saying, listen, I want you to be strong in the grace. It is God's grace that's going to help you get through. Or when they say it like this, he's talking about the kind of grace that John Newton wrote about when he wrote that great old hymn, Amazing Grace. You remember this verse? This is the third verse. Listen to what verse 3 says. Let me just back up, because it all ties together. I said to you that Paul's not talking here about saving grace. Now, when John Newton wrote the first verse, he was talking about saving grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm seeing. That's saving grace. Verse 3 is not about saving grace. Verse 3 is about sustaining grace, what we're talking about right here. Listen to what John Newton said. He said, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." What he was saying is, listen, you get started with saving grace. You give your heart to Jesus Christ. You know that you've been born again. You're a child of God. But then as you continue to live, you have sustaining grace. God didn't abandon you at the altar. God stays with you through all the difficulties of life. And you're not the pastor at Ephesus like Timothy was. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got trials, right? You have things that come along that challenge you. And so what God was saying was, he said, through many dangers, toils, and snares. That is, he said, I'm giving you grace wherein we stand. As John called it, grace upon grace. The grace that allows you to live this Christian life in this terrible culture that we're living in today, to be able to stand strong because of the grace of God. That's what he's saying. I've already given you the next point. When we talk about the power for strong Christians, I said to you that it's gracious power, but it's God's power. It's God's power. The power that Paul's talking about is not going to come from Timothy, but you notice there in the latter part, or the last two words there in verse 1, he says, in Christ Jesus. By the way, the rest of the time in his writings, he refers to him as Jesus Christ, but now here he calls him Christ Jesus. So he's saying, I want you to be strong in Christ Jesus. I've already mentioned this, but I will remind you once again that over in Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and there he begins to talk to them about spiritual warfare. And in verse 10, he says this, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. May I say that again? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Notice this, in the Lord, his might. It's not yours. Whenever I plead with you today to say to you, be strong, you don't have the strength in yourself to be strong in the world that we live in. I don't care how strong you are. You don't have the strength to stand against the wiles of the devil that we're living in today. And so Paul was not saying to Timothy, be strong in yourself. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and that grace that is unending, that will always be with you, be strong in that grace. And if you'll be strong in the Lord, Timothy, there is nothing that you cannot handle with God's power. That's what he was saying. And I'm going to say this to you today. There is nothing in the Lord with his power that you cannot handle. You say, Pastor, you don't know what's coming my way. You don't know what I'm trying to handle. I don't. But I know the Lord. And I know his power. And I know that there's nothing that it will overcome you in the power of his might. There's no person that is too strong for you. There is no pain that is too strong for you. There is no problem that is too big for you. And so that's why he's saying that God's power is going to continually pour out upon you to enable you to have the grace that you need to walk in the world that we live in. He's not just saying be strong. He's saying be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Church I used to pastor, there was a young couple there by the name of Mike and Marla Shaw. While I was their pastor, God called Mike in the ministry, and he's pastoring today. But his wife Marla, she used to sing a song in our church. As a matter of fact, I mean, she didn't sing often, but she would sing a solo from time to time. But every time Marla sang, she sang the same song. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. The title of the song was, and I thought of it as I was preparing this message, the title of the song was, He Giveth More Grace. Anybody ever heard that title? He Giveth More Grace. And Marla would sing it. Verse 1 said, He giveth more grace When the burdens grow greater, he sendeth more strength. When the labors increase, to added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. Hear that again. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. And then the chorus said, his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. The second verse said this, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done. You ever been there? When our strength has failed, when the day's just half done. That's what it said. When our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. I like that. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again. You hear what Paul was saying? He said, Timothy, my son, be strong. Not in yourself, in the grace that just keeps on giving. He giveth and giveth. Just keep on being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When Paul got through giving the plea for strong Christians, and then he talked about the power for strong Christians, he gives four illustrations, four pictures of what a strong Christian looks like. I don't have time to do all of that this morning, but let me just give you the outline. Look at it. Verse 2, he gives the picture of a teacher. I'll talk about that. Verse 3 and 4, he gives the picture of a soldier. That's strong. In verse 5, he gives the picture of an athlete. And in verse 6, he gives the picture of a farmer. If you're going to be strong in the power of his might, then he said, here, you're going to be like a teacher who not only understands the subject, but you pass it along to somebody else. You're going to be like a soldier who's out there on the front lines fighting the battle. Not going to be worried about all the things going on in the world. You're going to be like a soldier. Not only a soldier, he said a good soldier. If you're strong, you're going to be like a soldier. You're going to be like an athlete who's out there fighting the, running the race. And you're going to be like a farmer. What Paul was calling upon Timothy to do was be a strong Christian. You need to be strong. There are some folks today that need to be strong. There's a family today that put their dad in hospice They need to be strong. There's a family today that their little boy was killed yesterday. They need to be strong. There's a family today that lost their house and are living out of their car. They need to be strong. By the way, friend, I'm not making this up. I'm talking to you about things I know about. And I'm going to tell you this, the list could go on and on and on. I'm simply telling you, in the world that we live in, you need to be strong. And I'll close with this. You'll never be strong outside of Jesus Christ. You need the strength that only He can give. You're not going to be able to survive in this world, much less the next world, without Jesus Christ. And so today, if you say, man, I want to be strong in the world that I live in, what I need to do? Well, number one, you need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to understand that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're separated from God, you're bound for a devil's hell. But God sent Jesus to the world to rescue lost sinners like us. And the Bible says if you're willing to turn from your sin and trust Him as your Savior, that He'll come into your life, He'll forgive your sin, and He will be your Savior today. I'm going to tell you, that's good stuff. That's the first thing you need to do. The second thing you need to do is what you saw earlier today, what Pam was doing earlier today. If you say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I haven't been through that baptistry water, you need to go through those baptistry waters. Will that save me? No. But that'll make you obedient as a child of God. And that'll help you to grow and mature. That'll be your taking your stand to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what else do I need to do? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week. But I'm going to tell you, some of you in this room today who know you're saved, you know you've been saved. You don't have any doubts about that. You've been through that baptism. You've done that as well. But I'm going to tell you this today. There's some of you in this room. As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot of you in this room. You need to get serious about this thing called Christianity. You need to get serious about it. The world that we live in, you better get serious about it. Because you're going to have to take your stand somewhere along the line. And so you need to be strong in the Lord and not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today, thank you so much for your word. Lord, in this room, there are people who've never given their heart to Jesus Christ. Oh, there's some who think they're saved. They're hoping they're saved, but they don't know. And God, I pray that today would be their day to say, I need to settle this once and for all. I need to know for certain that I'm a child of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you speak to the hearts of men and women and young people in this room, and that they'll come today during this invitation time. They'll come take a pastor by the hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Father, there'll be some here today that you've spoken to them about something else. Maybe they saw the baptistry water stirred this morning, and it stirred their heart, and they said, I've never done that. I need to do that. So, God, may this be that day for somebody in this room today. Father, somebody looking for a church home today. They're looking for a place where they can grow and serve and become more like you and become strong as a child of God, Lord. And if this is the place you want them to come and join, I pray that they'd do it today. God, time's running out. So, Lord, whatever it is you want us to do today, I pray that nobody here will put it off and think about, well, tomorrow, maybe next week. But, God, I pray that today we would sense the urgency of the hour and say, today, this is what God wants me to do. I'm not waiting any longer. I'm going to do it today. So please, please speak. Draw people to yourself. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Join me in standing, please. While we stand, we're going to begin to sing. Our pastors are down here at the altar area. There's something God wants you to do. Come do it today. You say, man, I need to get saved. Come do it today. You say, I need to follow the Lord in baptism. Come tell somebody about it today. You want to join this church? Come do it today. Maybe God's calling you to preach. Come do it today. God wants you to be a missionary. Come today. Say, this is what God wants me to do. While we sing right now, you come do what God wants you to do. Lord.